All right, I'm going to talk this morning about the process that our organization went through to develop a pilot curriculum for high school students to promote preconception health. I have no relationships to disclose. And this morning we're going to talk about three things, two more than three actually, but the first is the process that we went through to develop this pilot curriculum, and then the components. What are the components of the curriculum that we came up with? And finally, some of the tools. I probably won't have time to get to the tools, but I did bring one sample of the full curriculum that has the tools in it. So if anyone is interested particularly in the tools that we came up with, just see me after the talk and I'll be happy to share that with you. So a little background about the project and who we are and why we're doing this. We used to be known as the North Carolina Folic Acid Campaign, housed within the March of Dimes in North Carolina. We recently expanded in 2010, and we are now the North Carolina Preconception Health Campaign. So we're taking on additional messages in addition to folic acid. We're not taking on all of the preconception health messages, but focusing in a narrow way. So that's who we are, and that's what we're doing. We have a fairly large staff, so including me, there are 8 of us, give or take, depending on the grant situation at the moment. But there are 4 regional coordinators around the state. Those are our core staff members. They do healthcare provider education in private provider offices as well as public facilities. We do direct consumer outreach. We do peer health education program that reaches several thousand women every year. We do paid media. We're very fortunate in that we have funding to do paid media in both English and Spanish. Materials, we get out about 500,000 pieces every year, and then a dedicated Spanish language campaign. So all of our components are culturally modified, specifically because the neural tube birth defect rate among Hispanics is higher than for other populations. So we have a dedicated campaign to address that. So here's a little bit of background about our process that we went through. We looked pretty hard, and there are a lot of curricula out there for high school students around health topics, but none of them specifically that we could find focus on the specific preconception health topics that we wanted to talk about. So a lot of this is really just the formative background, getting to what the teachers want and what the students want. This all started back in 2007. One of those 4 regional coordinators sort of struck gold and hit the right person in a particular region of the state and ended up speaking to more than 35 high schools that year. She gave sort of the standard March of Dimes birth defects presentation in those classrooms, talking about our birth outcomes in our state, birth defects, and folic acid and multivitamins. Those topics complemented, and the reason that those teachers wanted her there was because she could be a guest speaker and cover some core components of the North Carolina Standard Course of Study. We found at that time and with our pilot testing this year that our best fit is in the family and consumer science area. So we haven't been able to get into health classes or physical education classes yet, but the family and consumer science courses are what back in my day was known as home ec courses. So this is parenting, child development, teen living, foods, family and consumer. There are several of these courses, so that's where we started. Our goals with this project, building on her work, were to expand the presentation to include some new preconception health topics that fit our particular goals of our campaign at this time. We wanted to test them with teachers and students and then revise based on the feedback that we got. We wanted to work with our North Carolina Department of Public Instruction to get these inserted into the standard course of study so that we wouldn't have to continue to go back and guest lecture at 1,000 high schools across the state. So our ultimate goal would be that we would have consistent in terms of from classroom to classroom to classroom and sustained over time preconception health education delivered by teachers in public high schools in North Carolina. So that's our long-term goal, what we're shooting for. So we started with this needs assessment. The regional coordinator who did all those presentations in 2007 met with a curriculum consultant, and they sort of powwowed about what was her learning and then added in the expertise of the curriculum consultant and thought about what we might do. They then administered a survey to those 35 teachers. They had 24 respond to give them feedback about her initial presentation and what they would like to see added. Then they did focus groups with about 20 teachers to say, well, this is what we've come up with so far. What do you think? They then drafted the lesson plans and then did some more focus groups to get feedback on the ones that we had the least amount of expertise in, which were healthy weight and reproductive life planning. So the results of all of that talking to teachers, so this is results from the teachers, the biggest thing we took from all of that was that these were components that the teachers felt like students needed but did not currently exist in our standard curriculum in our state, and they really wanted it for the students. So they were very supportive of us going through this process. They told us that they were excited because these lesson plans could potentially be used in many different courses within that curriculum. And we were sort of surprised, but teachers really had very little knowledge about the topics that we were teaching, and we sort of had to stop and teach the teachers and then sort of move on and get their feedback. So they really were interested in the information for themselves. Their specific recommendations for us were to make sure that we aligned the content with the existing curriculum in North Carolina and did sort of that incremental policy change that we always talk about. So start with making sure there's good overlap with the existing core things that they had to teach, and then stretch, and then get the stretched things into the core curriculum, and then they could be carried forward. Do not oversimplify content, they said. These are not, for the most part, not college-bound students, not four-year college-bound students, but they really wanted the material to be challenging and comprehensive. They really wanted a lot of charts, graphs, and pictures. You know, we had a lot of charts and graphs about birth outcomes and thought, well, that's what we like to see at APHA, but is that really what you want in high school? And they said, yes, that students really liked that, so make sure we kept that in there. And don't forget the boys. All of these classes have boys, so make sure you figure out a way to include the boys. So this is what we came up with. The curriculum is called Healthy Before Pregnancy. So we expanded that one presentation into five lesson plans that make up the curriculum. The first module or lesson plan is called Pathways to Poor Birth Outcomes. That's sort of a comprehensive overview. The second is Multivitamins Take Them for Life. That's our folic acid module. The third is Healthy Weight Matters. The fourth is Preventable Factors That Can Lead to Poor Birth Outcomes. So that's taking part of the broad lesson plan number one and really focusing on specific things that students can do over the long run to improve outcomes. And then the last one is reproductive life planning. And I should say at this point that last year in 2009, North Carolina actually passed a law allowing for comprehensive sex education in the schools. This was a long, hard fight, and we finally won. So we are working with the groups in our state who are promoting evidence-based comprehensive sex education curriculum in the schools, and we're sort of selling this as a dual thing. You're gonna get as an evidence-based comprehensive sex ed thing that does the condoms and that whole nine yards, plus you're gonna get this preconception health piece, which is sort of the wraparound big picture piece for students. So we're working with our partners to do that. Each of our lesson plans has a teacher's guide, goals and learning objectives, so that shows the teachers where they, where the curriculum fits, a slide set, group activities, exercises that they can assign as homework, quizzes, and then resources for the teachers. So we tested with students, and this was what we found. We tested 4 out of 5. We didn't actually test the folic acid because we've done that so many times. We wanted to save our teachers for the things we needed more feedback on. We did 20 classrooms in 10 high schools in the classes that we talked about. In the pilot testing, we did the PowerPoint slides and one or two group activities. They were given pre and post tests to sort of see what their knowledge levels were. Then we did guided discussions with the students to get their feedback. That was my favorite part of the process. And then we did both written and verbal feedback from teachers. I actually did about 15 of these classes myself. So we did Pathways to Poor Birth Outcomes in 7 classrooms. So there's the goal that students will understand the pathways that lead to poor birth outcomes. On the pretest, we had really high knowledge deficits in regard to what the leading causes of infant mortality are. The fact that racial and ethnic disparities exist was a big surprise to students. And where North Carolina ranks in relation to other states, that we are worse off in terms of birth outcomes was a big surprise. So we saw lots of improvement in this area, as you would expect, because that's what we told them. And then it helped us to figure out which parts of our lesson plan specifically that we hadn't done the best job teaching, so we can go back and tweak those slides based on the pre and post test. Healthy weight, this is really just a module to help students understand that your weight as an adolescent can be related to birth outcomes and your health in the future. Same thing, they had lots of deficiencies about racial and ethnic disparities, the relationship between income and obesity, and the relationship between childhood overweight and adult obesity. Same thing, we saw dramatic gains sort of across the board, and then it helped us figure out what we need to tweak. The preventable factors, this is more specific factors, talking to them about smoking, drinking, stress, nutrition, et cetera. We found their deficits there to be around neural tube defects and how you can prevent that with folic acid. They had no idea that STIs were connected to birth outcomes. This was a big surprise for them. And similarly, we saw large gains and figured out what we need to improve upon. Reproductive life planning I did in 4 classes, and then I did activities around reproductive life planning in all of the classes that I taught. This is talking to students about how to plan for an intended pregnancy as part of a larger life plan. They had no idea that the pregnancy rates were so high in North Carolina or about the racial and ethnic disparities, and we saw the same sort of results. I added an extra slide because reproductive life planning was by far our most popular module. It was really engaging. The students loved it, and they really did not have trouble with the term reproductive life planning. In the preconception health world, we think that that's a crazy, difficult term, and the students loved that. This brochure was developed in North Carolina for 18 to 35-year-olds, and we just thought we would try it and see how it worked with teens. They loved it. They wanted extra copies for their friends. I had to give them extra time to complete their reproductive life plan. They filled up all the pages of the plan, so they really, really liked this concept and worked hard on their own plans. So our key findings, they were receptive. It worked really well with the males as well as the females. We wanted to make sure that we had done a good job of that. It was good for all grade levels, rural schools, urban schools, high resource schools, low resource schools. So the curriculum is adaptable enough that it can be used in several places. Biggest finding really is that for students, they were very surprised that their health now can be related to something in the future, and our consistent feedback from them was that this really helped me understand that now is connected to later in a meaningful way. And this is a quote from a young man who said, "Adults always tell us what to do, but they never tell us why. You told us why." So I saw a lot of light bulbs, not in terms of probably the actual information, but in terms of, oh, what I do today matters. There were a lot of light bulbs around connecting those dots. So our next steps are gonna be partnering with our teen council to review the lesson plans. We'll incorporate all of the feedback that we've gotten. We definitely need supplements on contraception, STIs, and to figure out what to do for parents. These materials will potentially be adopted for other audiences that we spend a lot of time on college campuses, so we'll need to adapt for those audiences. Funding, partnering with DPI to get these inserted into the curriculum, and hopefully eventually evaluation. So in summary, we were able to take a folic acid presentation and expand it successfully. It really did take an extensive formative process to figure out how to do this. Again, the ultimate goal is to get teachers to do this in a comprehensive way across the state. If you have questions, please feel free to contact me.